He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday, 10-7, October the 7th, live edition of the Best Stocks Show with Bill Gunderson, professional money manager, and Barry Kite, also on board with us again today. He's my CFA and CFP and MIA. No, he's there. You there, Barry?
Good morning, Bill, and good morning, everyone.
Yes, and look at this. You know, to say this is a bipolar market, I guess, would be an understatement today.
Right.
I mean, when you compare Monday with today, the Dow up 513 points right now. We're almost back to 35,000, 34,930. We're having a huge day. I just checked our AUM, and it's looking happy. NASDAQ is up 215 today, at up 1.5%. That puts it at 14,716. The S&P is up 60, 4,423, up 1.4%. Small caps are up 1.3%. Crude oil is down. Okay, there's reason number one. I've got three reasons why the market is up today. Reason number one, crude oil down. And I know that natural gas is also down yesterday after Putin said, you know what, we'll open the spigot a little more. Gold is down $5.90. I did notice perkiness in a lot of the gold stocks yesterday. Silver is flat. We've got interest rates. Well, you know what? Interest rates continue to move a little higher here, 1.56 now, 1.56. They are up 3 basis points today, and Bitcoin had a huge day yesterday. It's cooled off a little bit today, but Bitcoin is up 662 to 54,566. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with Bill and Barry. It's the Bill and Barry show on this Thursday in this bipolar market, which has gone south, which has gone north, which has gone south, which has gone north. It's enough to make your head spin. But I have three reasons, Barry, that I've observed here. I've spent the last 3 hours researching. Reading all the news that has come in since yesterday's show. And my three reasons today would be, number one, a pullback in oil prices, which are a big part of inflation. Number two, there seems to be a deal on the debt ceiling. Which is, you know, here the deal they make on the debt ceiling is always kicking the can down the road for another month.
That's it's always a can kick. We're never, we're reducing the debt, right?
And I thought I heard a can being kicked last night, and that's it. And the third reason I'm going to offer up is President Biden announced yesterday that he will have a Zoom call. A Zoom summit with President Xi of China. I'm going to add a fourth one here, and that's a better-than-expected jobless claims report. Okay, so those are four pretty big reasons. Yesterday when we talked about all of those balls up in the air being juggled, I think all of those were ones. And so you take three of those away for now.
You hit on the top three. I have the top three that I had written down and the honorable mention because the theme of all these different balls in the air, and I've been having a running list of the balls that are in the air.
Yep.
And I think today, like you said, we can argue that jobless claims, regardless, we've got to grow our way out of this anyway, whether it's good for interest rates or not. So to me, good news is good news. At least at some point, it will be. But the first, those first three, I mean, that's exactly, kind of the uncertainties that we talked about this week. Those are kind of three of them, at least, you know, getting, yep. you know, I guess one of them we kicked down the road, so we don't really,
That one will be back up in the air in about 3 weeks.
December. Right. And so we've got the energy. I mean, big deal, I think, is energy prices. If you look at, what's going on in Europe in terms of their equity markets getting a boost today, that has a lot to do with the rhetoric from Putin yesterday, just in terms of, natural gas being so important.
Okay. And there was rhetoric from, our energy secretary.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I call that jawboning. You know, they haven't opened up the spigot. They opened up their mouth. And, our energy secretary said, well, we may tap the oil reserves, and that's enough, you know, to send
oil
prices
stimulus.
Down.
Yeah,
exactly.
Verbal
stimulus. Yeah. So, you know, the other thing is we finished off yesterday. We were pretty weak yesterday, but we finished off in that last couple of hours. We actually had the Dow go positive by 100. The NASDAQ went positive by 60 because a lot of these things were in the last few hours of trading yesterday. And so that's extended into today, and you add on some good news here this morning, and you've got this liftoff in the market today. One stock I want to take a look at because it was up big yesterday, and it's one that we own, and it's one that I've featured the last couple of days or last couple of weeks. I think I might have featured it twice. Affirm Holdings, AFRM. And because it was up so much yesterday, I want to put it in this section of the show here. It was up another 16%. Now, Affirm is the one that got the deal with Amazon for buy now, pay later. That's never a good idea, but you know what? It's Christmas season. Put it on layaway, this kind of thing. And to get a deal with Amazon was big enough. Okay, then they announced like a week ago that they would take Bitcoin. That's always moves the stock. But then they got yesterday, it was up 16% after Target said it's partnering with Affirm, which is AFRM, with the Buy Now, Pay Later company.
Mm-hmm.
And we own it in our emerging growth portfolio. This thing all of a sudden is a $37 billion company with Amazon, Bitcoin, and Target, okay? So AFRM is the symbol. It doesn't have a ranking in my app yet, but it is an A-plus momentum grade, and that's why I check that A-plus momentum grade list every day. There's about 65 today out of 6,000 stocks. And, you know, I catch a lot of stocks early on that haven't really hit the news wire yet because there's unusual activity taking place in these stocks many times before they hit the news wire. So I just wanted to mention Affirm. Okay, here's my headline of the day. I was listening this morning to Mohammed Al-Aryan in an interview. He's the former CEO of PIMCO. Pretty smart guy. He knows his markets. He knows the economy very well. Here's his quote from this morning, Barry. You're going to love this. You need active management in this market. Amen.
There we go.
Can I hear two hallelujahs? Okay, this is Mohammed Al-Aryan. He's been in the markets all his life, and he's kind of poo-pooed this whole notion of passive investing. And you know what? How many investors out there right now are stuck in a passive model at a big warehouse firm and nobody's doing anything? You know what happens as the market starts to sell off? The robots buy more stocks. That's what the way it is because they have to bring your allocation back up, right? And the same with the bond market. If the bond market starts getting pummeled and moving down, they're going to just keep buying all the way down to keep your allocation. Right. So I really fear for all these people. How would you have liked to have been in a passive, you know, back in 08 and 09 and not be able to do anything at all as, you know, Bear Stearns melted down and Lehman Brothers melted down. And then you go back to the year 2000 when the dot-coms melted down. We're going to have another meltdown at some point in the future. It could be the meltdown of all meltdowns. I don't know. We'll see. But
well,
certainly
the speed of trading. to me, it's the speed of trading.
The speed?
While, you know, doing, you know, the mutual fund, you know, was a great vehicle at one point to help investors with diversification when trading costs were so expensive. But, you know, now trading a stock at the end of the day, right, or trading your mutual fund, selling at the end of the day with the market.
Yep.
You know, moving, you know, in both directions, you know, probably, you know, much faster than it used to.
Oh, well, much faster.
You know, you want to be able to me, you want the ability to go to, you know, to be able to be out of the market or in the market at the right time instantly versus end of the day.
But absolutely. Okay. And the ETFs also have changed the world. Okay. Well,
right?
I hear the music.
Very true.
Boy, we're barely started here in a day that's full of news. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite from Gunderson Capital Management. We'll be right back. Second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. You know, don't get too excited about today's big gain in the market. It could be down 500 tomorrow. That's been the pattern of the market recently. We maintain two hedges, not big positions, but, you know, enough to at least cushion the ups and downs of the market here, the wild swings, the volatile swings in the market that we've been experiencing here recently. But today we are on one of those big upswings. Monday we were on one of those big downswings. Who knows what Friday will bring? Muhammad Al-Aryan, you need to be active in this market. Amen, brother. Energy pullback, debt ceiling progress, virtual meeting with China later this year seems to be what's moving the market. Okay, let's start with Biden and Xi, okay? They agreed to a U.S.-China virtual summit this year. Well, you know what? There's a lot on the table because the trade issue is very chilly right now. They're not living up to the trade agreement that they made with President Trump. I think they're only 65% of the way. And we are, of course, asking for big, 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 big climate change concessions from China. I even heard Mike Pompeo this morning suggest that China may say, you know, we'll give you these climate change concessions if we can have Taiwan. I couldn't believe what I heard, but that came from Mike Pompeo, who was the Secretary of State before the current Secretary of State. And, of course, John Kerry is the climate change czar, and he's the one that's dealing with China, trying to get their climate change concessions. And at the same time, 59 warplanes buzzed Taiwan yesterday. So
right, that's kind of
that's a... You know, and here's the other thing about Taiwan. Okay, it's a democracy. It's a major ally of the United States. It gives us, you know, positioning, very important positioning in a very volatile area of the world. But the vast amount of semiconductors in the world are produced in Taiwan. You may not know that. Intel is a semiconductor company, but they don't make semiconductors. They're fabless. Most of these semiconductor chip companies have gone to being fabless. They design them. They send the designs to Taiwan where they're made. And can you imagine, you know, if Taiwan were to be invaded? But anyways, Biden, Xi agree to U.S.-China virtual summit this year, and that has helped the market. At least the two sides are talking. And it's been a very, very, very chilly relationship. And, of course, China's made a big turn back towards the Mao Zedong model and away from the capitalist model. U.S. default set to be avoided with a short-term extension. Can't you just hear, you know, you kick a can and it goes down the road, you know, and then you get to the can and you kick it again. That's where we're... we're at.
They keep finding the can.
Yeah, and it's Mitch McConnell and Bernie Sanders that are debating and kicking the can down the road. They agreed to kick the can down the road. That's the agreement they made. Initial jobless claims go down 326,000. That's good, but the labor shortage persists. We did drive by Savannah Port yesterday. It is true. There are ships lined up out in the Atlantic, and it's 10 times worse in Los Angeles. And I heard Bert Flickinger, I think it is. He comes on quite a bit. He is an expert on retail. That's his deal. He's covered retail all his life. He said that it's going to be a horrible Christmas season with empty shelves. People don't realize that because, you know, these containers that are coming in are half full because of the supply chain issues. And most of these half full containers are sitting offshore in ships waiting to be unloaded. He says it's a disaster. He says it's, you know, he says you better plan on just a catastrophic Christmas season as far as being able to get stuff from off the shelves. Anyways, that was Bert Flickinger this morning, who's a very sharp guy as it relates to retail. Natural gas plunges as Russia pledges to raise supplies to Europe. You know, you kind of hate to see Putin with his hand on the spigot supplying natural gas to Europe.
But yeah, but that's his dream. That's what he's, that, I mean, that, you got to remember, that's really what he's wanted to do. And so now he gets to kind of come in and swoop and, you know, hey, I'll save you guys. Let me, you know, we'll turn on a little more gas, right?
Yeah, and he controls the price of the gas doing that, which I can't believe that Europe, with the history they've had with Russia, allowing Vladimir Putin to be in charge of supplying Europe with natural gas through their pipeline, Gazprom's pipeline. And I've noticed that stock has done really well. It's hard for me to buy a Russian oil and gas company in our portfolios, and I won't. But OGZPY is Gazprom, and it trades, here in America. But just him saying that, his pledge, I can see behind his back, he's got his fingers crossed, and out of his mouth says, I'm pledging to raise supplies to Europe. Well, that was enough to at least stop. Europe's natural gas prices have gone up 50% in the last several months. Oh,
yeah. I saw where the rolling electric contract could be, you know, essentially your power bill, per kilowatt hour would be, almost three times or four times as much as the price of normally. And it's based on how their contracts are done. But it's a problem if they don't get the price down.
Yes, and winter is lurking out there. Okay, talk about inflation. Okay, we've given a lot of examples of inflation. Bank of America nudges up its minimum hourly wage to $21, heading to $25. That's Bank of America, Brian Moynihan. Okay, here's another inflation one. Hanes Brands, Carter's stock fall off. Carter's is a child's clothing store. As cotton prices rise to 10-year highs. We've got a restaurant in downtown Charleston called High Cotton. And, yes, it is, 10-year highs. It's owned by Hall's Chop House.
Yep.
My wife and I like Hall's High Cotton because they have live music every evening in the lounge. Love it. Tesla is starting to act like a Texas-based company. There is speculation being stirred that Tesla could officially move its headquarters from Palo Alto, California, to Austin, Texas. And, of course, Musk has been saying that for quite some time. I think it's just a matter of time before he pulls up stakes out of California. I've driven by that Tesla plant many times. It could be vacant at some point in the future, and all those people could be going to Austin. Okay, this is Bill Gunderson along with Barry Kite on a day with the market flying higher. We'll see what it does tomorrow, but I'm happy today. We'll be right back. everyone. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show with Bill and Barry again today. We've got the S&P up 65. If anything, the market's gotten a little stronger since we started.
Everything's going in the same direction and the same magnitude. You got essentially the NASDAQ and the Dow up roughly about the same percentage-wise.
Exactly.
1.6%. Hasn't happened a lot lately. Yeah.
No, because I was just going to make the observation. I looked at a bunch of individual stocks during the break, and if you ask me what's popping today, just about everything. You know, just about everything. The only one that I saw down significantly was the dry bulk ETF, BDRY. So I'm not sure what's going on there, but everything. AMD popping, Apple popping, Amazon popping. So look, it would take it a day at a time. It's about all you can do in this market. Okay, here's a massive conundrum. And I don't think you and I can solve it, Barry, but it's a massive conundrum. U.S. weighs releasing emergency oil reserves to combat price surge. Well, number one, this is a self-inflicted emergency. And I've heard a lot of commentary on this race recently. In this race to reduce carbon in the atmosphere, we're shutting down production and future production and future R&D, and we could really be shooting ourselves in the foot. We're creating man-made shortages here. Now, here's a sign of the times here that puts an exclamation point on this point I'm making. Shell was planning to develop a massive oil field in the North Sea, for the United Kingdom, off of the United Kingdom. And, you know, that's necessary if you're going to continue to fuel and have the fuel for an economy that, you know, these ships crossing the ocean, the airplanes, the military, they're not going to be on wind and solar anytime soon. You can't just make a massive, okay, we're shutting down all R&D and all drilling for oil and whatnot. You're going to have to do this over a long, long period of time. But this Shell plan to develop UK's North Sea field was nixed by regulators, okay? They said no. And Shell, I mean, they are shocked. They spent a lot of money. They know the oil is there. It's going to be needed in the future. Shell called the decision very disappointing and unexpected. So it's a conundrum, okay? How fast do you move to clean up the carbon emitted into the air? Do you, in exchange for that, do you bring about these massive energy shortages that we're already seeing? Okay? It's the old supply-demand. How much of your studies to become a CFA was about the old supply-demand issue, Barry?
Right, and you know, and also kind of follow the money, right? If investment dries up, right, there's no incentive to continue to find more supply, and so if you don't have supply, right, well, prices are going to go up. You're going to have shortages. The other thing is, you're going to have less and less reasons to, certain wells, right, operate at a negative cash flow. Well,
right.
If you don't have, these other, things offsetting, the negative cash producing well, you're just not, they're not going to produce with that well.
No.
So there's, I think most importantly, like you said yesterday or a couple of days ago, is the transition, flipping one switch on and flipping one switch, off. You've got to do them kind of simultaneously versus, if you can't turn the left switch off and then, wait who knows how long and turn the other one on. And they're not going to both turn at the same time. So you're going to have these unless you subsidize on probably on both sides. At some point,
yes,
you're going to have to subsidize on the fossil fuel side because you're going to dry up all needed investment.
And many industries will always need fossil fuels. These ships parked outside of the port of Savannah, these military jets guarding our nation, these aircraft carriers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, yes, you can convert a lot to renewable energy, your homes and smaller applications, but when it gets to these huge applications,
well, you should see the size of the wire that goes into, you know, these, you know, the size of the power feed that goes into some of these, these processing plants. And I mean, it's unfathomable the amount of, you know, size of the wire and the amount of power that they use. And regardless, right, plastics, I mean, you know, the sun's not going to create a plastic.
No.
You know, I mean, you use petroleum products and a lot of things besides just energy, right?
Yes.
Whether it's byproduct or whether it's, you know, specifically for that. So there's, you know, there's no really to me, it's not getting away from it. What you're doing is just like, diversifying, right?
Yes.
You've got to diversify your power across a number of different, applications, but, you know, the, power is going to, you know, most power is generated via fossil fuel, at least currently.
Yep. All right, let's move to China for a minute. Now, on the other side of the pond, the Chinese stocks are flying today. Alibaba is up 5% as China tech names rally. And this is just on the news that they're going to have a virtual summit. All right, so that's kind of an odd thing. But I was surprised to read yesterday that Charlie Munger, who is Warren Buffett's sidekick, and I think he's a little older than Buffett. I think Charlie Munger's 93. He's been buying lots of shares of Alibaba.
I saw that too.
As a deep value investor, and of course we owned Alibaba at one point in time. But when China turned on its own companies and Jack Ma disappeared for quite a while and wasn't seen or heard from, and they put a halt to the Ant spinoff from Alibaba, I said, I don't want anything to do with this. And I've heard many, many major money managers that I respect greatly say, I would not ever have own a Chinese stock again. But you got a guy like Charlie Munger. Now, this isn't in Berkshire Hathaway. This is his own little deal. I can't remember the name of it. It's a closed-end fund, I want to say, or it's a publicly traded company. But you wouldn't know that it's a, you know, Charlie Munger unless you had read this article. But he's buying up Alibaba. And here it is. There's that Alibaba story. Charlie Munger doubles down on Alibaba shares after the recent decline. My own opinion, maybe you have a different opinion. Did we write up Alibaba at any point in time?
Yeah, we've, potentially, at least, you know, I know once, I'm thinking that, you know, probably twice. I mean, it's a great company, but
it's a powerhouse.
Almost, it's a great company, but in terms of, you know, is it a great stock, right? That's the, always the question. And that's when we fall in love with companies, we have the same, you know, deal when we're writing, you know, you can fall in love with a company, but at the same time, you know, is it a good stock, right?
And so that's therein lies active management. The when you know, and I put that right in the newsletter above each portfolio. If the macro outlook or the micro outlook on the company changes dramatically, that creates, you know, a reason for us to sell. Now the next one here on our list, NIO. We wrote up NIO. Goldman Sachs points to 60% upside potential, and NIO could arguably be the best, the Tesla of China.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yep.
But we backed out and ran from NIO. We had some nice gains in it when she started to crack down on his own companies. But Goldman Sachs points to 60% upside potential. I agree. I mean, if you're just looking at numbers,
right? Exactly. That's you can't argue with it.
Yes.
But at the same time, is it a risk you're willing to take, right, in terms of country risk? And that's the, I mean, that's, I believe they have, they probably have more than 60% upside.
Yeah. It's a $55 billion company that was $64 in February. Now it's $35. It's almost been cut in half. And the app, which is apolitical, doesn't read the newspaper, says it's ranked number 4,883 out of 6,900. So we're going to take a pass. We sold our NIO. We're out of it. Okay, here's the other one. Justice Department creates a national cryptocurrency enforcement team. the crypto busters, right?
Right.
And I think that put a little chill through the big move. Yesterday, Gensler, the head of the SEC, said, you know, we're not going to outlaw it. Oh, no, we're not going to outlaw it. But I think instead they're going to regulate the heck out of it.
Right.
And I think that has brought a chill to Bitcoin a little. It's up 600 today after being up 3,600 yesterday. Here come the crypto busters. Okay, when we come back, I want to talk about Kathy Wood's latest move, and then we're going to feature about two or three stocks here in the final segment. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. I'm just going to first mention a couple I don't like, and then I'll mention three that we do like. I think we've written up one of these stocks that we do like. Kathy Woods is buying Ginkgo Bioworks. Yesterday there was a big short report that went out on this stock. The stock got slammed. The symbol is DNA. So obviously it's one of these gene editing stocks. It was down at one point yesterday about 12% after Scorpion Capital issued a harshly critical short report saying the company is a colossal scam. Well, short sellers are known to use hyperbole like that. It helps their it helps their holdings go up when the stock goes down. Kathy Woods bought 6.7 million shares of DNA in their flagship fund, ARKK, and another 1.5 million in the Genomic Revolution. It's a company that, you know, you take cells out of a person, put it in a test tube, you program them with computers, little scary stuff, really, very controversial, and then you put them back in, but it is one of the directions that biotech is taking. So she's buying DNA. I'm not. I just don't. You know, that whole gene editing, I've seen some disasters so far. Editist would be one, E-D-I-T, which hasn't turned out. Tilray reports earnings. I'm not buying the weed stocks. I got more questions about the weed stocks about 3 or 4 years ago from retirees interested in buying. And I said, you know what? It's just like anything else. They have to be profitable. They have to grow those earnings, and none of them have done that, and I recommended against buying them, and they certainly have not been good investments. Now, did we write up UMC, United Micro Electronics?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's
okay.
What I like about that is it's small. It's a smaller cap, market cap. Capitalization, or it was when we started.
Yep.
When we started.
Okay, and it's one of those companies that we just talked about where all of these chips are made offshore, and Taiwan has really the semiconductor capital of the world. That's why it's so important strategically, not for just that reason, but, you know, even our trade person, I believe, said, oh, we can't lose Taiwan. We can't have China invade Taiwan. It's too important from a technical standpoint. UMC, we own. It's a dividend payer, too. It's pays a 2% dividend yield. Of course, Taiwan Semiconductor is the biggest foundry in the world, and it's TSM. But UMC is a smaller one. It's having a good day today. It's ranked number 88, at least it was recently, out of 5,900 in the Best Stocks Now app. I'm going to give it an honorable mention today because it's up 5.1%. The second one I'm going to mention very quickly here is
It's up 104%, by the way, since the last time we wrote about it.
Is that
November
right?
7th.
When did our article come out on UMC?
The last time we had it was November. I'm looking as wrote it up was November 7th. Total return 104%. I think
11 months.
The market was up 23.5%.
Yeah, you know, and here's the deal. We're so busy managing money and, you know, talking to new clients and putting money to work. We've gotten a little behind on our article writing, and we're going to put an ad out or something because you and I are so busy, Barry. And I'm just going to say it on the air. Maybe I'll do a commercial, but we're looking for a good – I mean, we have no shortage of ideas. You know that?
Yeah,
there's no shortage of ideas.
We need a story.
And you know, if there's somebody out there that wants to, that's a writer, you know, you have to know a little something about the market and stocks and things like that. But, you know, we're looking for somebody that can, under our direction, write at least a couple articles per week. I mean, our track record is amazing on Seeking Alpha. But we're so busy with, you know, in the real world managing money and whatnot. So if you're interested, you know, just go to our website, GundersonCapital.com, and say, I'd like to talk to you about writing articles for you. So there you go. Maybe I'll cut a commercial, but I'm also going to go on that Seeking Alpha forum and put the word out. Sentinel One, symbol S. I always like this one because it used to be the symbol of Sears.
Sears, right? Yeah.
When Sears was the dominant, forget Amazon, forget Target, forget Walmart. Sears owned the world with their Sears catalog.
Oh, you could buy what you needed and get your car serviced all at the same time.
But in a sign of the times, the symbol S is Sentinel One, which is a cybersecurity company. And it's a recent IPO at 35. It's been to 73. It's a big competitor to CrowdStrike. And also I would say cloud, net is Cloudflare, NET.
Mm-hmm.
And we own a little of this Sentinel One in our emerging growth portfolio. Easy symbol to remember, S. The last one I'm going to mention is one that I followed for quite some time, Northern Oil and Gas. The symbol is NOG, N-O-G, just like eggnog, but take the egg away. Northern Oil and Gas is buying up. A lot of people are deserting the Williston Basin, I mean, because of the tightening regulations on drilling in America, which we knew was coming. And Northern Oil and Gas is buying up a lot of those. Northern Oil and Gas today hit number 496 in rank. That's a beautiful stock chart.
The chart looks nice.
Woo, that's gorgeous. So we don't own it, but we're looking at it. It's got a P.E. ratio of 8. It's also a value stock, and it's got an A-plus momentum grade.
Yeah, and some of these names are just, I think, about, you know, good hedge to higher energy prices, right?
Exactly.
So, you want to add of these names to the portfolio, potentially, just because it's a good hedge of what's going on in the world.
Yep. Well, we're out of time. I can't believe how fast this hour goes, and it's been fun. We can't wait to do it again tomorrow, although I'll be at a funeral tomorrow for my brother-in-law down in the Sarasota area, which is a very sad thing, 76 years old, great guy, just a fantastic guy, and we're headed down there, so I may not be on the show. Barry, you may be running the ship tomorrow, but there's plenty of news to talk about.
It's been a busy week, and we'll be thinking about you and the family as well.
Yeah, yeah. So there's our three stocks. S for Superman, UMC. You can read our article on that. It's doubled since we wrote it. I think it could double again. We'll see. And NOG, which is an energy stock. And in the meantime, active, not passive. Call us at 855-611-BEST. You can talk to us, one of us, if you want to, about your portfolio, 855-611-BEST, or get the newsletter, which I'll be working on from the road tomorrow, GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.